Hi, and welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm here with Badrul Hisham Ismail. He's the content editor of Swara. That was the journal we were talking about earlier that sold here at the Tintaburi bookstore and also kind of bound up with it in very interesting ways. Badrul, your role as content editor, could you kind of describe it? What exactly does that mean? Why are you not just editor?
Well, okay. Well, the role is one thing, but basically how we work is basically just the three of us really plan out what will be the theme of each issue and what are the topics of the essays that we would be interested to look out for and who would be the one that we'd be interested to engage.
Right, so this is Hafiz Hamza, Nazir Fazila, and yourself, right?
Yes, correct, okay. Yeah. So basically, every time we are planning for the next issue, we would sit down together and would flesh out what we think would be the most appropriate theme for the specific issue that we're going out at that specific time. Because we already know beforehand when, because the way the journal is being sort of scheduled, the first
right.
quarter,
it's
second
a quarterly,
quarter,
right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we know each quarter when it's going to come out. So, and we decided what would be the best thing to talk about within that specific quarter. Is there something that is timely for that specific time? Or it doesn't have to be anything like that either.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, for me, it struck me as extraordinarily brave to get into this because many people dream of this, few try it, and many fail to keep it, you know, to sustain it. Really, really good journals I can think of, like Synthap, that ran specifically on the visual arts, and maybe that was too narrow a focus, but. Yeah, help me understand, how do you make sense of the concerns that you have personally or intellectually with your co-editors and what do you think an audience might want and so on and so forth? How do you manage that?
Well, first of all, we're still trying, so we hope to see, longer than the other ones, hopefully. But in terms of how we think about the content, we start broad. Unfortunately, I'm not the kind of person who really knows what the audience think. So I don't even try to think that way, but I would just think about what would be the interesting stories that would be relevant to Malaysia now that can also talk about things in the past and touch upon what we might want to talk about in the future. So we always start with something that is very broad, which is why the journal is always just about contemporary issue, arts and culture. So we leave it broad. We only get it narrowed down when we talk about the specific themes or specific issues. Even then, it's still sort of a loose connection between each essay. They're only attached thematically. They're not, really connected to each other in terms of the storyline. So, for example, earlier this year, the first issue of this year, the fifth issue, after 1 year of dealing with COVID, we thought about maybe the first of 2021, we should be something that is more sort of, lighten up the spirit, see how we can deal with the future, brighten up the colour a little bit so we choose visually that is different from what we produced last year. And we thought maybe youth spirit is something that we can talk about. So that was the theme of the fifth issue, which was the January issue this year.
Yeah, and this was the issue I actually picked up because I know Hafiz Hamza and I knew of the journal, but, in many ways, we live in a time of so much distraction. There's so much to read, right? Why pick up yet another thing that you might not even read? And I read it partly because of Rahmat Harun's essay on Avrako, who was a performance artist who died many years ago and who I knew personally. And so I really liked the writing and it opened me up to the other essays in the journal. And I was, I think, very attracted to it because I think we're always told, Martabat kan bahasa, kebangsaan and all that. But actually, the real charisma is in the writing, as in making the language, I think, relevant through the stories you tell, right? And so your decision, because I know there's a translated work, English to Malay,
yes,
in the journal. What do you make of this deciding to go wholly bahasa rather than maybe mixing it up and doing bilingual?
Well, that was one of the earlier things that we discussed about before we started up. This was back in 2019. Are we going to have probably like 70% Malay content and then probably 30% English content? But then we realized that once we go that direction, the possibility of only getting English content and not getting the Malay content is going to be bigger. So we don't want to be in the future where we're going to get way too many English content but not enough Malay content, because the truth is there are not enough Malay content out there.
And that is it a writer issue? I mean, why not? You would think that in Malaysia, you know, Malay content would not be the difficult one.
I think it's a combination of a few things. From the person who wants to start the journal, they would always think about commercial aspect. There's a huge assumption that Malay readers are not good consumers. They wouldn't buy these things. They would just, you know, get things free online. And then there's the issue of probably getting advertising. English content, probably you could get more, you know, bigger advertising opportunities. So those probably one of the things, I mean, a combination of things why people decided to go more on English medium when it comes to print. But of course, we not thinking very smartly. We just thought that, you know, maybe it's more commercially valuable to do it that way, but our purpose is also something different. We want to be commercially viable, but at the same time, we want to serve something else. We want to serve something that is not available out there and try to make sure that that would be sustainable for us.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, even in the English language, and I'm not talking specifically about Malaysia, but in other countries where English language is a major language for media, long form and you know, essays of this sort, cultural analysis and commentary is actually very rare, becoming more and more difficult to find funding for these kinds of vehicles. Let's just make a quick switch to your upcoming issue, which I was very interested in, mm-hmm. which is about the national cultural policy.
Yes.
And there's the 50th anniversary actually coming up. Tell us a little bit about what you want to put in there.
So 2021 is the 50th anniversary of two major policies in Malaysia. One is the national economic policy. And one, and the other one is the Dasar Kebudayaan Kemasaan, the national cultural policy. So we thought that it's about time that we sort of get some writing to revisit that, to reflect on it, to see after 50 years, are we going to the right direction? Were those decisions to have those policies a good decision? Could we improve, or was some mistake that we can learn from? So we decided that that would be the main the theme of the upcoming issue that we are going to publish soon.
Right, so that seems a bit of a hot topic, right? Because, I mean, the NEP is debated endlessly. National cultural policy, not so much. It seems there are only one or two Malaysians, I think, who do some serious research on that, Kathy Rowland being one of them, who is associated with Arts Equator. She's one of the editors based in Singapore. So what do you hope to... Because I'm trying to get you to promote this next issue. I mean, who's going to be writing for it, and what kind of positions are you taking as a... Or do you not take a position as a journal?
As a journal, we try not to take a position in terms of which argument that we're going to agree on. We just want to have different opinions so that people can look at all these different views on the same issue. So personally, we are not really taking any stand on all the content that is out. So for the upcoming one, we have quite a few, you know, important figures that contribute. We have Rais Saniman, who's one of the drafters of the NEP. We have Muhammad Khalid, the economist, also writing about NEP. And then we have Faizal Musa, or Faizal Tehrani, who write about the national cultural policy. And they all have very strong opinions about what those things are, how they came about, and what are their impacts, and how we should, you know, move forward.
Right. Is it going to be kind of dry analysis? Because once you mention an economist, you know, I think, but of course, Muhammad Khalid is the author of The Color of Inequality,
yes,
isn't he?
Yeah.
So, but what about the stories? Because this last issue was filled with really compelling stories.
Yes. I think that is one direction that is a bit different, this issue, because it is such a big national issue that it's difficult to personalize it in that sense. Although the writers have very strong, you know, voice behind them that you can, you know, almost hear the way they speak through their writing, which is in a, you know, interesting for us to sort of explore that aspect of personalization. But yes, it will be less personal compared to the fifth issue.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back with more. I'm going to speak to Hafiz Hamza, the other editor of Swara magazine. Stay tuned to Let's Talk.